Well, this weekend is the 25th anniversary for Dance for Life. It's a dance performance bringing together several Chicago companies to raise money and awareness for AIDS, HIV, and other life-threatening illnesses. The idea was the brainchild of Chicago dancer Keith Elliott. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, he put the first Dance for Life together to help pay for medical needs for his fellow dancers. Dancers are usually underpaid artists. When afflicted with life-threatening illnesses, they rarely have insurance or the money to pay for medical bills, especially at that time. Today, the fundraiser is going strong, raising anywhere between $250,000 to $300,000. This year's show's tomorrow night at the Auditorium Theater. Always a huge event, and this year, the 25th anniversary. Keith Elliott's one of the founders, and although he's not running day-to-day anymore, he's still heavily involved. He's my guest tonight. Keith, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Justin, thanks so much for having me here. I appreciate it.
I'm not kidding. I mean, this is the 25th year for this, but this is something that you started, you know, sort of shoestring, that has grown to something that is almost highly anticipated for the dance community.
It is. It's the anticipated summer event. It's a wonderful evening out. You can never catch all these dance companies together in one night like you can in Dance for Life. So it's a great evening.
So talk about, so that's the idea that you'll put together, what, 20, 25 companies that will come together from Chicago and they will all perform?
This year it'll be approximately eight different companies. Over the 25 years, we have presented over 36 professional.
So eight different companies come together and they perform mm-hmm. one sort of cutting from their...
A two-hour show.
Yeah.
In a two-hour evening, just jam-packed full of different styles of dance, ethnicities. It's a beautiful evening of dance.
So let's take it back to the 80s. I mean, you're a dancer and you were here in Chicago. You were dancing... was it Holmes? Where were you at?
I was with Joseph Holmes. And yeah, once you're a dancer, you're always a dancer.
Right? Right.
I can't say I could do it anymore. Right. But and God bless the young ones that can. But it's an art form that you have to practice every single day. But once it's in your heart, it's in your heart. But back then it was just... It was a little more devastating than it is now in terms of the reason that Dance for Life was started. Back then, in the late 80s, early 90s, there were many dancers just passing away at the drop of a hat.
I mean, you hear a lot about the theater communities being affected, you know, and mm-hmm. it's interesting to me because you don't think about the dance communities, but they also, I mean, that community was ravaged. I mean, you're right. People were dying left and right from HIV/AIDS.
They were. Back then, I remember the first year of Dance for Life. Wonderful evening. Never thinking that the event would sell out. We were at the Organic Theater. It used to be up in Wrigleyville, up on Clark near Addison. And it was just a 400-seat theater, and we were just all sweating bullets, thinking, we'll never sell this out. But I remember that evening, Todd Keach helped me co-produce the first year. And we named off all the dancers that had passed from the dance companies. We wanted mm-hmm. to, you know, just honor them. And for every name we presented, we turned off a light. And the theater was dark by the end of it. And it was devastating, but it really put it into perspective.
Is that, I mean, for you, tell me how you got into dance, you know, because it wasn't something that was, that you, you know, thought about it. I was reading a bio of you of just, you know, you weren't taking dance classes as a kid. I mean, you were into it, but you got into it later.
I did. I started pretty late. I started when I was 26. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm almost 60 now. So years fly by. But it was kind of on a fluke. I just happened to walk into a dance studio back in the early 80s, and it was Joseph Holmes Chicago Dance. Well, it was called Joseph Holmes Dance Theater then. Then they changed their name to Chicago Dance Theater, Joseph Holmes Chicago Dance Theater. Yeah, just walked in, and I don't know, I just instantly fell in love with it. I thought, oh, I can do this. But my background was judo. So I had some flexibility and ability, and at least the discipline to stay focused on it. But it was about the athleticism that I really liked. But that has propelled me into my life now, where now I manage health clubs out in California.
Okay. I mean, I'm fascinated by it because, you know, I always want to dig in when I have artists in studio about different scenes and different times. You know, when you came to Chicago and you started dancing with the Joseph Holmes Company or the mm-hmm. theater, what was the scene like for dancing here in Chicago, for dancers, for dance?
It was an exciting time. You know, now Chicago is really a mecca for dance. New York, Chicago, you think of the two side by side almost.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Back then, but it was an exciting time back then because a lot of different styles were being presented, modern and jazz, with the advent of River North back then presenting their very showy contemporary jazz style. Giordano back in the day, just... It was very vibrant then and still continues to be, but it's very well tuned now. I think it's fine tuned. There's a lot in Chicago in terms of dance now over then. But it's tough. It's a struggle for dance companies because there's never any money.
Well, was there money around in the 80s? Or, I mean, was it sort of shoestring, everyone just putting their passion on stage? I mean,
everybody putting their passion on stage. There were a few big dogs, like the company that I was with, Joseph Holmes Dance Theater at the time, and they were doing quite well. We had a year-round contract, 52 weeks. And then it was cut down, and you saw, as with the economy, you know, lessening, then, of course, our contracts did, and then finally the demise of the company after a while. But now that it's defunct, it's just too bad. It was a very, very sought-after company. Yeah, and it was a gram-based. It was a very strong technique.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, that really was the beginning thoughts of Dance for Life, was when the contract did get pulled back and you had some time on your hands. As opposed to just every
exactly. Year
having a 52-week contract, right?
Yeah, just hating to sit around and be bored. Putting this idea together, it really started, a friend of mine, John Kamis, and Joe Seaman. We just wanted to activate the Chicago dance community in some way. So we just danced in the Gay Pride Parade back in the late 80s, and we called it Dancers United at that time. And so we got 61 dancers, and we all performed in the Gay Pride Parade. At that time, I was putting ideas together to create a dance event that would raise money, just kind of from my parents. That was a given from them. They were always in tune to volunteering and helping others. So that's, I think, really why Dance for Life started, because I took one of my passions, dance and volunteering, which my parents instilled in me. And create a dance for life.
Was, you know, going back to that time, I mean, the community, was it a connected community where everybody knew everybody? Or was it things like Dance for Life that kind of brought it together?
Dance for Life was an impetus for that. It really became a conduit for the dance community, for them really to join forces and come together. I marveled every single year standing backstage, and people who had never talked to one another before, you know, and you see the ballerinas sitting with the very contemporary, modern, just totally laughing and telling jokes and cheering each other on in the sidelines off stage. It was really a good thing to see. And for me, that really drove me every single year to see that.
Now, I mean, obviously the event's going strong, and we'll talk about the current show. But, you know, obviously with AIDS and the epidemic that was happening, even though the community wasn't connected, a lot of dancers were being affected by this, and that was something that brought the community together. Even before Dance for Life, there had to have been a point where dancers were like, this is insane.
Yes, collectively you could just feel the sadness in the Chicago dance community, losing so many artists, bright, promising artists. That really pulled everyone together for this event. That's exactly what it was based upon, is, you know, us in Chicago, the dance community, coming together to raise money for those who can't afford. And out of that idea, 2 years after Dance for Life started in the early 90s, Harriet Ross and myself, we created a fund that supports the dance community, anyone in the professional dance community that at that time couldn't afford medications or doctors or last mm-hmm. flights home, bills, rent, and such. Now it's a little bit different. The fund has grown quite large, and we're funding anyone in the Chicago dance community, where before it used to be just dancers. But now we have paid for funerals through the fund and other needs.
How does that work? I mean, does someone have to go through an application process and things like that?
They do. You can do that right online at our website at danceforlifechicago.org. You can go there, or we also know everybody too, so they can just come to us and chat with us, and then we also go that route as well.
For you, I mean, as a dancer who wanted to do this in a couple weeks off because you didn't have the full 52-week contract anymore, to move to where you were even 10, 15, 20 years in, this became your job. This became, you know, the main thing. Talk about the transition from being a dancer, being an artist with an idea to, you know, to someone who was essentially running a big business that the dance community counted on.
It it was a huge learning curve in the very beginning. I knew nothing about putting things together yet very organized, which was a plus, of course. But just connecting with the dance company constantly, daily, until midnight, sometimes 1 a.m, trying to get everyone involved. And it was just a huge effort to get a lot of people together, because quickly the wheels start turning. This started becoming a pretty big event, and it just took a lot of people breaking up the bits and pieces. So it allowed me just to really direct all those bits and pieces and making sure people are in place to run them. Everybody wanted to jump on board. Mm-hmm. And so that was not difficult. Everybody, especially in the dance community, is very, very giving here in Chicago. Were then and still are to this day. So it was tough for me just trying to learn. But there was the support of a lot of people.
Does it blow your mind 25 years? To be at the Auditorium Theater thinking about the days at the Organic. There was a point, I'm sure, at 4 or 5 years where it just kept getting bigger and bigger, that you're like, there's going to be a plateau and it's going to go down, but it just keeps getting bigger.
It just keeps getting bigger. And I remember the year that it was Patty Eiler, who's on our board. Also, she's part of the committee this year as well. She presented us with an idea of possibly going to the Auditorium Theater. So Harriet Ross, a very dear friend of mine, who one of the honorary founding members of Dance for Life, she and I went and talked to Brett Batterson over at the Auditorium Theater, and we talked about the possibilities. And of course, it's a fundraiser, so they were helping us research ways that we could make it less. Mm-hmm. We also partner with the Chicago Dancing Festival as well, so typically they'll perform a week after us.
That's coming up,
and
yeah.
So we'll be able to share load in, load out. In terms of cost.
Oh, that's a good idea.
The union's always very friendly to us as well. The theater, Auditorium Theater, is awesome. But I had such reservations that first year. I was like, wait, that's a 4,000-seat house. There's no way. but right now we're at about 2,500 tickets.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And for you, to now be in California, yep. To be looking back on Chicago, when you think about the dance community here and you mm-hmm. think about how it's grown, how it's evolved, how it's become mm-hmm. more caring, how it's become mm-hmm. more connected.
Right.
What do you think of the community from afar, from a lens from outside?
Last night put it in perspective, if I can share with you, Justin. Last night we had a viewing party for our finale work. Our finale work is choreographed by Randy Duncan. And Randy Duncan, for those who don't know him, he was one of the choreographers on the movie Last Dance. Mm-hmm. Last Dance. So he and Andy Matran, who's the composer, a dear friend of mine, Andy Matran, who used to do Bozo Circus.
Awesome, yeah.
He was the last composer on that. He put the music together for the finale. But last night we had a viewing at Dovetail Studios up in Albany Park. And I was sitting there, and Randy Duncan at the very end says, "Does anybody have any questions?" And I raised my hand. I was like, "Okay, I have a comment." I was like, "All right, 20 dancers that are all giving of their time. We're sitting on the floor, panting, breathing heavy, still sweating." And I thought, "Oh, the days! I'm glad I don't do that anymore." But I said, I just have to share with all 20 of you sitting here, some of you, the very first time that you're performing in Dance for Life, and you don't know the real reason why it started, but here you are. And if you look around this room, there are 70 people sitting with me over here, and you're sitting there looking at them. Stare at them. Take this in, because there's 40 years of dance history in this room right here. 25 years of it with Dance for Life. Even before that, there's a lot of reasons dance exists here in Chicago. I said, you now are part of that fabric of the Chicago dance community.
That's great, yeah.
And you're part of history just by being here tonight and taking part in Dance for Life.
For you, last question, to think about 25 years of being able to put this fund together, to mm-hmm. see the fundraisers run from $250,000 to $300,000 a pop,
right?
To have a fund that can help people with medical bills for life-threatening illnesses like HIV/AIDS, thinking back to those days in the 80s when you lost friends, do you feel that you've done good by them?
Done good by them, for them, while they were here. Try to instill that in the thought processes of the dancers last night at the finale viewing, getting back to the root of why this event started, even though with the advent of PrEP that people can take, of course, HIV is lessening, but still you don't want to get complacent. So one of our board members gave a talk about that last night, connecting them with the real reason that Dance for Life started and why the dance community is so giving, and why they jumped aboard like they did.
Keith Elliott, one of the founders of Dance for Life, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary. It's amazing. The fundraiser's at the Auditorium Theater tomorrow night. It's a must-see for the dance community. It's every summer. It's a summer event.
Tickets are still available.
Tickets are still available. It's the Auditorium Theater, Dance for Life. Keith, thanks so much for coming in tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.